So we welcome you, Sutta Prabhu. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor to be with you. We always see your pictures handing out copious numbers of books. It's so inspiring. Sometimes I look at you guys and wonder how in the world are you doing it? And my only conclusion is I'll have to come over there and see it in person. So hopefully in the future.
You're welcome to come, Prabhu. Yeah, I mean, it's just by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, a little minute desire to try to do something to please Srila Prabhupada and his faithful followers. So we always like to start with Prabhu. How we always want to know, because devotees are so unique. Every single devotee is so unique, and every single story of how devotees come to Krishna consciousness is so special. So we were hoping that you can share with us how did you come to Krishna consciousness? What was your initial connection?
My great fortune was that from a young age I was coming to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. My parents used to bring me here. But, you know, it was pretty ritualistic, I guess, pretty much a cultural thing we were doing, just coming every few weeks, coming on festivals, taking darshan, and that's about it. But when I was 15, I just had an urge to, like, really understand it more. And so somehow or other, a devotee was going door to door and he distributed the Bhagavad Gita to my best friend. And it just coincided with a time in my life where I was questioning things. And he came in the next morning and said he had got a Bhagavad Gita. And I thought, like, wow, I want to read it. And so I got this Gita when I was 15 and opened it for the first time and didn't understand anything. Just got completely baffled. But something inside of me said, this knowledge is profound. I don't understand it, but it's profound. And yeah, from there I began associating with devotees more. And at university I really got more involved, I guess. And then, yeah, by the time I graduated, I was just like, I need to take some time out to explore Krishna consciousness. So I went to India for 6 months, traveled around, and then, yeah, in 2002, I became a monk at the manor, like that.
Great. 2002, so that means talking 19 years now.
Yeah.
That's solid. Yeah. 2 decades of service. That's amazing. I mean, it just goes to show then, I mean, if you were interested from the time you were 15, like Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, this is coming from a past life, a previous life. Where are your parents originally descend from, Prabhu?
My parents in terms of their spiritual background?
Well, just as far as their nationality and just so...
Oh, okay, yeah, my parents, they're both from an Indian background, a Hindu background. So, yeah, I guess in that way I was introduced to the culture and the tradition of the Vedic teachings. And, yeah, perhaps, I don't know, by some causeless mercy, either that or something from a previous life, causeless mercy in a previous life, something makes you think there's more to life than the 9-to-5, 2.4, and ticking all the boxes to make everyone happy. Got to look a little deeper, and somehow or other, the super soul guided to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books, which then answered all the questions.
Jai. Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, is this connection with the Sankirtan devotee such a special thing? It's like, you know, you never know who the recipient of the book is going to be and what the effect that book is going to have. So you mentioned that the book was received by your friend, and then your friend gave you that book. Did you ever find out?
A devotee was going door to door, and he distributed the book. And somehow or other, it just coincided with an exact time when I was thinking I want to read the Bhagavad Gita. And so I remember it very, very vividly. It was a Monday morning, perhaps, and it was, I think it was in the economics class or something of that nature. And somehow he just like said it offhand. He didn't know I was interested in any of this. He just said, yeah, well, one of those Hare Krishnas came and they gave me, and I was like, wow, I just saw it as a sign, you know. And I said, I just told him, I want that book. But he was a bit taken aback because he was thinking, why are you so interested in this? You're not religious. And but yeah, he brought it the very next day. And yeah, every time, that is such a magical moment, every time a book goes out. When I first went out on book distribution, sometimes I would just sit on the side of the street and just watch Sankirtan devotees, not just because I was having a hard day and I was getting blown off the street, but it was just beautiful to watch Sankirtan devotees, like, stopping people, making them laugh, connecting heart to heart, and then just handing over a book and watching someone walk away with a book. And someone could just think it was a 30-second, one-minute interaction. You had a bit of a banter. You exchanged a bit of a few coins, and that's about it. But it's actually a life-changing moment. It's like destinies are changing. And it's such a miraculous thing when a book goes out. And sometimes when we hear all those numbers, you know, like 1,000 Mahabig books, and you know, sometimes in the number, we may not register every single book, how incredible that is, an opportunity for someone to connect, an opportunity they may not have had for lifetimes. So, yeah.
Wow, that's profound, Prabhu. You're just giving us the vision you have when you're out there and you're seeing. I mean, that leads to me to ask, what was your first experience on Sankirtan like? What did you think? What did you you can walk us through the day, how it was.
I mean, I tell you, Gopal Chamburu, I love to watch Sankirtan devotees, but I just couldn't do it, you know. It was just like, we would, when we first joined the temple, it was like compulsory. Everyone would go out on a Saturday. That was the shopping day. That was the busy day. And it was like, from Sunday, it would be a countdown, you know, like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go out in 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days. And it was tough, you know. I was introverted. I felt like I was getting in people's faces. I felt like totally out of my element. And I felt it was just a big push for me to like try and stop someone and then convince them. And then on top of that, take a donation. I was just like climbing one mountain after another. But I think by the association of the other Sankirtan devotees, it melted my heart. When I went out in the beginning, sometimes I would just sit on the watch them. And I saw their dedication. I saw their belief. I saw how they were able to connect soul to soul with people. And I saw the magic in front of my eyes, and I thought, like, I want to taste some of that Karuna Ras, you know, that magic of Sankirtan. So I think the Sankirtan devotees melted my heart, and I tried to serve the Sankirtan devotees. I tried to learn from them, and I tried to steal some of their meditation that they had on the street. And finally, by their mercy and by Krishna's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, I was able to break through. And then for quite some years, Sankirtan became like my full-time service. Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice, Prabhu. I know recently we've been hearing how, you know, especially there at the manor, how setting goals. And they've, I know with Divyanand Prabhu, and I think Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu.
Yes.
We've all come together, and you've set, you know, large targets, and even becoming kind of like the hub for Europe, kind of like the ones heading up the whole European yatra, kind of setting the goals for the distribution of books. How can you say now, because you've been there, you know, now 2 decades, and now these, you know, within the last few years, kind of this more, it's becoming more and more, a little more organized, more goal oriented, it seems. How would you say that has, that goal setting has brought the community together in this unified effort to distribute Prabhupada's books?
Yeah. Before I come to goal setting, maybe I can just share with you a little bit of the evolution of Sankirtan.
Absolutely.
I remember 20 years ago, we used to have a room in the Brahmachari Ashram, and it was called the Sankirtan room, you know, the Sankirtan devotees' rooms. And there were three bunk beds in there, about eight devotees staying in there, and they were the Sankirtan team. And they were almost a movement in and of themselves, you know. They knew what they were doing. They were on a mission, and they were doing incredible. Sometimes they'd travel, and then you wouldn't see them back at the ashram for 2 months, you know, and then they'd appear. They'd do like 1 week of intense sadhana, and then they'd just be out there again. And they were they were moving mountains. They were distributing a lot of books. But somehow or other, everyone else wasn't part of it. They were the Sankirtan devotees. It was their service to do Sankirtan, and everyone else had their service. Mm. And what I saw evolve over the years was that the Sankirtan spirit began to spread as the Sankirtan devotees opened up to share that spirit with the rest of the devotees. And what we found over the last years is that everyone wants to be a Sankirtan devotee. Everyone wants to distribute Prabhupada's books. Every devotee wants to please Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, distribute my books. But what we found was that many devotees just weren't supported or facilitated or trained or encouraged to do that. And we found that when, along with the inspiration to distribute books, we also gave them an opportunity, we took them out, we went, you know, we shared whatever we learned with them, then everyone got into the spirit. And so, it's amazing now at the manor, Divyanam Prabhu, his good wife, Vrindarika Ramya Mataji, Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, many others, they're doing incredible service. And the Sankirtan spirit has really begun to pervade more and more corners of our congregation. And goal setting is incredible. It kind of begun some years ago when we tried to have we did something called the 100K effort. The idea was to distribute 100,000 books in the marathon. And, you know, for about 15, 20 years before that, we hadn't distributed more than 50,000. So we were trying to double it. And somehow or other, everyone just got involved, you know. It's just like from every part of the community and every devotee in their own way was getting out there, experiencing the nectar. And that year was such a magical year, and that year we tried for 100K, and we ended up distributing 130,000
books. Get out of here! That's amazing, bro.
So it was incredible. So then the next year we thought, okay, 200K. So we tried for 200K the next year. And we didn't quite do it, but we got to 150,000 that year. And then the year after that, what we decided was that instead of a book number, what we try to do is focus on door-to-door and really get a lot of devotees out. So we said, we're going to knock 50,000 houses in 1 month. And that was also another miraculous marathon, because what happened is... we got to the final 3 days of the marathon and we had knocked 20,000 houses. So we were 30,000 short and we had 3 days left. So we came up with this idea to knock 30,000 houses in 3 days. So I remember this, it was funny. We came up with this idea. So I went on Canva, you know, canva.com, where you make up those posters. I don't know if you ever done it.
But there's a website you can make posters on there.
Yeah, there's a website called canva.com. So I'm making up this poster. We're going to knock 30,000 doors in 3 days. Everyone get involved. And while I'm making the poster, I'm just thinking, this is silly. This is definitely not going to work. This just doesn't fit with the figures. you know, it's impossible. And what happens on Canva is once you finish the design, you click the button and then it takes a few minutes to generate the JPEG. And while it's generating the JPEG, it has a famous quote comes up from a famous person. So I made this poster, I'm just having all these doubts. And then I click the publish button. And then as it's processing, this one quote comes up. And it's a quote from Nelson Mandela. So this quote comes up while I'm having all these doubts. And it says, everything in life seems impossible until the moment you actually do it. Mm. And I thought, wow. That's a message from Krishna.
So I'm sitting on the edge of my seat right now, Prabhu.
Yeah. I mean, I had full confidence. And then we just put it out there. And in 3 days, we ended up knocking 35,000 houses, you know. Goals are powerful, you know. When we come together and we got a focal point and we all believe in it. And I tell you another reason why goals are powerful, because our own individual agendas kind of dissolve away in the bigger goal, you know. I think one American president, he says, it's amazing what you can achieve when you don't care who gets the credit. So when you have this goal and it's just about the bigger mission that we're all part of, kind of we put our own agendas to one side. And when we do that, it brings a certain purity and unity that just brings incredible empowerment and blessings. So yeah, it's powerful, goals and getting everyone involved. And of course, we have so much gratitude and appreciation for His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu, who's really captured everyone's imagination with so many beautiful initiatives. So yeah.
And now today, how many full-time, you could say, how many full-time book distributors do you have at the Manor now?
Well, unfortunately, for the last just over a year, we've all been locked down. In the Manor, it's a heavy lockdown. I know you guys are still going out. We sometimes get envious and we think we need to just fly over to join these guys, you know. But yeah, before lockdown, we have a full-time team of about 6 devotees. Who go out from the Manor like full time every single day. They travel the country, and then we have many congregations that, you know, go out regularly as well. But yeah, looking to expand it. Yeah.
Then another thing I was thinking of is how the Manor is kind of like it's an iconic figure now in London. Bhaktivedanta Manor is kind of like, at least from my view, from my understanding, it's like the Prime Minister is visiting, you have this big haveli. So how is the book distribution in the Manor itself? I mean, you must have a huge operation there from guests coming, and just like, I'm sure thousands and thousands of books are going out that way. Can you share some things you guys do?
Yeah, there's great opportunity within the community. Like, of course, the Haveli is coming up, and one of the ideas is to have a permanent exhibition of Prabhupada's books at the Manor, so people can come and really learn about, you know, the genius things that the spiritual genius Srila Prabhupada was. But yeah, amongst the community, amazing things have been done in terms of distributing the books. Like, I think in Bhadra, I don't know the exact numbers, but 300 to 400 sets of Bhagavatams going out, Chaitanya Charitamritas. I think they did 150 recently. But we know there's more potential. And the Manor, I think, is, we have done some nice things, but I think the Manor is still somewhat of a sleeping giant, you know, and we need to still wake up some corners. So yeah, there's definitely more to do and more opportunity. So
now you were mentioning how the Brahmacharis kind of opened up to start sharing the secrets of how to do the book distribution. Maybe can you share when that evolution was happening, what were some of the things that the Brahmacharis did, or the devotees who were distributing books and had that taste? what did they do to actually, you know, pass on that knowledge? Because it's probably the things that a lot of brahmacharis somewhere might want to know is how they can get the congregation involved, because it's kind of like the sleeping giant for book distribution.
We did lots of different things. The first thing we started doing was videoing Sankirtan devotees on the street with a mic and just like getting these videos out where everyone can see, well, how do they interact with people? How do they connect? What kind of things do they say? So we created those videos. Those videos kind of captured people's imagination because they were just amazed to like hear, see, you know, observe the interaction. Then another thing we started doing was having like seminars and training sessions where devotees just come together. They do role plays and they, just have a go in a safe environment like that. But I have to say, you can do all of these things. You can watch all the videos, learn all the lines in a role play. But ultimately, you got to get out there. You got to get out there and learn to swim in the ocean of the material world. And so what we would do is just take devotees out. And every devotee, we would go in pairs, like one experienced devotee and one new devotee. And we'd just go door to door. And, it was like the new devotee would speak and the experienced devotee would back them up and, you know, get them out of trouble or, you know, like both boost up the conversation when it was going a little down. And like that, the new distributor learned, you know, how to interact, what to say. And ultimately, confidence. It's just a confidence thing, actually. Most devotees, they know how to speak to others. They know the philosophy. They know how to crack a joke and create a light, you know, but they need to have the confidence, you know. And so just doing it, you get the confidence. So that was really good. And then what we started doing also is taking devotees away on traveling Sankirtan for like three days, 4 days. Because I tell you what, like if you take devotees out once a week, it's nice, but you know what it's like on Sankirtan. Sometimes the first hour or two, you just have to get the engine going again, you know, psych yourself up. But what happens is when you do 5 or 6 hours, 7 hours of Sankirtan every day for 1, 2, 3 days in a row, you build a momentum and you build a flow and you build a, you know, and you kind of break through. We used to call it breakthrough, you know, that devotee, he's broken through now. And so we found that taking devotees on intense Sankirtan experiences for a few days helped them to get to the next level like that.
That's good. That's good. Have like a Sankirtan immersion. You can make like a program.
Yeah.
Like Sankirtan immersion. Come for a week, Sankirtan immersion, you know, in New York City or right in Soho, the middle of London.
Definitely,
you know.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's a great thing. And, another thing we used to do is, utilize the Harinams as well, because that made it a lot easier for the devotees to distribute. I remember 1 year we got the Harinam Ruchi boys came down. And what we did is we took 20 youth with the Harinam Ruchi and we went for 6 days to the north of England. And we did 3 Harinams every day in 3 different cities. So like in 5 days, we did like 15 cities and it would just be like, you know, the two vans would rock up, you know, 30 devotees would like come out of the vans. The Harinam Ruchi, they'd be like 100 miles per hour from like the word go. And then we just do like this whirlwind blitz through the city, you know, and everyone's imagination was captured. And so for devotees to distribute books, it was just so easy because people were attracted and then they got the confidence. And because sometimes just doing book distribution cold, like not cold, but just straight face to face, that can phase you out. So having some other things backing them up always helps, you know. So that's another thing that we were doing.
That's great. That's great. So that's kind of like the monthly Sankirtan festival. A little bit.
Something like that. Years ago, they used to call it week. Well, maybe they still do. They call it Weekend Warriors nowadays.
The Weekend Warriors. Yeah. A
Sacred Street Party. We have all these different initiatives going on.
That's nice. So, what would you say? I mean, in your years of book distribution outreach, what is the response of most people? What do you see, like, when most people first receive a book? What's kind of like the normal response you get there in London? Now, I mean, especially there in London, Hare Krishna is so there in the UK, it's so known, so well known.
Yeah, people are open. Yeah, it's like, someone was asking me the other day, like, if Krishna consciousness is so amazing, then why isn't the movement bigger? And so I was giving them a few reflections. But what I said to them, as I said, look in the world today, meditation, basically everyone's looking to that. Vegetarianism, everyone's realizing the benefits of that. Yoga, a household word. Karma, something that everyone connects with. And I said, look at these concepts. These are like core elements of Krishna consciousness. So even if you tell me the Krishna consciousness movement is not expanding, the very principles that we stand for, that are the very core of our philosophy, are basically proliferating throughout society in a mass way. So if you say the Krishna consciousness movement is not expanding, you may have a one-dimensional vision of it. It is expanding. And Mahaprabhu has a plan, you know. So like when you go out nowadays, people are into it, right? You like tell them about meditation, yoga, karma. And it's just like we use those buzzwords. But what I would say more than that is people just want to connect to a genuine, authentic, nice, spiritual person. Even an atheistic person will appreciate a nice, authentic, gentle, humorous, spiritual person. And so it's really like, that's what the devotees used to always say to me. They don't just buy the book, they buy you, you know? And so it's very much about what we exude. But yeah, people are open and people are hungry. I'm kind of itching to get out there because I'm thinking like after this whole thing that's gone on in the world, probably.
Oh, people, they're wanting it. They're wanting it. Yeah, we have a place here and we go to practically on a regular basis called Washington Square Park. And this is like the mecca for the youth right now on the northeast of the United States. You hear some people, they're coming from Philadelphia, they're coming down from Maine just to come to this park. Well, where do you find this park? You just find kids hanging out. They're not doing anything. So then there we are to give them the knowledge. So, and these people you're meeting, you know, these people that you've met, what are like some next steps you offer for them? Because I know that a lot of times this question is, okay, you're distributing so many books, but what's the next thing? You know, like you go door to door and you know, you knocked almost 55,000 houses and you say you distribute those 150,000 books, but now what do you do next for these people who receive these books?
Yeah, if our viewers wanna or our listeners wanna check it out, we've got a website, krishnawisdom.com, and this is
krishnawisdom.com.
krishnawisdom.com. Yeah,
how do you spell Krishna on that, Prabhu?
Krishna.
Okay.
And on there we created an online course called In Essence. I don't know if you all have it in America, the In Essence book.
We got some copies from the UK.
Okay, you got some copies. Yeah, right. So we kind of put this new book together with questions and answers with Prabhupada, and then we created a follow-up website and a follow-up online course for people to do. So that was nice. We were promoting that on a bookmark with every book that we gave out. We were just like, hey, with every book, you get a free online course which teaches you about wisdom and meditation. So that was nice. Of course, the devotees are collecting contacts. There's nothing like an old-fashioned personal connection with the people that you meet, you know? So we're still doing that. nowadays the devotees are harnessing social media a lot more. So what they do is they create like a Facebook group, and then anyone that they meet, they just get their Facebook ID and then add them to the group. And then on that Facebook group, you have like ongoing discussion and inspiration, all those kind of things. And then these are some of the kind of things we're doing. And I think the way forward also is live online courses as well, you know. So we're kind of looking at how to do that off Udemy and things like that.
Live online courses, yeah, kind of like offering, basically kind of like Prabhupada's idea to really make, you know, kind of like the Bhakti Shastri, kind of make courses like this, you know, time courses. I know there's some like the Bhakti Center here, they do like, you can sign up for a 8-week course, kind of like that, you know, and then you have to register, and they'd say, okay, there's only 15 positions available. So it kind of creates that commitment when the people register and sign up. And then it also, you give them a definitive time period, which is not so much of a commitment, but they'll get so much out of that, you know, few weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So my next thing I wanted to talk to you about was your books. Now, we know Prabhupada put so much emphasis on book distribution. But we also hear how Prabhupada on the other end would say, also read my books. So famously, it's mentioned how one time the Sankirtan devotees were there, and Prabhupada was sitting there, and they were coming to Prabhupada, and they were saying so many books, how many books were distributed. And Prabhupada just said, oh, that is very nice. He said, but are you reading my books? He said, I have not written these books just for you to distribute. I've written these books for you to read, become pure devotees, and go back to Godhead. And it's particularly the book of yours. It's called the book Bhagavat.
Yeah.
So this book, I remember when I first got it into my hands, I was just like, this is completely amazing. So maybe you can share with us how your love for reading Srimad Bhagavatam and studying Srimad Bhagavatam came about, developed, and how you've kind of put this all together into this masterpiece you've now produced. I know maybe that's you know, sometimes a lot of people, I know you're very humble, maybe you might not want to, but it's a very nice book. Thank you for putting it out.
Yeah, by Krishna's mercy, like I had many opportunities over my brahmachari time to go out and share Krishna consciousness with others. And for me, like when I saw Prabhupada preach, what struck me as unique was how applicable, relevant, and practical Prabhupada was in sharing the philosophy. He wasn't just speaking a philosophy, but he was giving people things that they could apply, things they could do tomorrow, and things that if they did, it would change their life. Prabhupada was talking about what was going on in the world, and he was relating it to the Gita, the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was addressing the problems that people encounter on a day-to-day basis and showing how Krishna consciousness has all the solutions. So for me, Prabhupada's genius was not that he was just able to bring all of this ancient knowledge and translate it, but the real genius was that he was able to make it relevant. And so whenever I, as a servant of Srila Prabhupada, as a servant of Srila Prabhupada's followers, whenever I would go out and try and share Krishna consciousness, that would be my foremost meditation. I'd read a verse from the Bhagavatam and I'd think, what does this mean? What does this mean for life? What does this mean for me in terms of what I need to change? How does this relate to the world around us? How does this address the needs, issues, and concerns that people may have? And so, yeah, over years, I would go out and try and share Prabhupada's books, the Gita, the Bhagavatam, the Sisi, and think deeply on these points. And I guess over time, devotees found it useful. They kind of encouraged me. And so then over years, then I tried to collate all of those things and make it structured and visual. And I have to say, it was like, in the beginning, it was a block to write books. It was almost taboo, because devotees would be like, why are you writing books? Prabhupada's book's already there. You think you're bigger than Prabhupada? You think you're better than Prabhupada? You think you can write something that Prabhupada missed out? And I was like, no, that's really not my intention. But I feel that if we write certain things, then maybe it will encourage and inspire and facilitate people to read Prabhupada's books more deeply. And to be honest, that is the one and the only one objective of any of these books. That if at the end of reading them, someone thinks, I want to read Prabhupada's full translation, I'm like, okay, my job's done. You know? So it was a little bit of a block. And, you know, you hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, the qualification of someone who should be writing on transcendental subject matter, and you think, oh my God, like, I'm so far away from that. But I felt very much in my heart that if Srila Prabhupada was right in front of me, I feel he would say to all of us to do that, whatever works to bring people to Prabhupada's book. So yeah, we put something together for the Bhagavatam, for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, for the Bhagavad Gita. It was purifying for me. It was enlivening for me. And now we also run courses on all of those books. So like right now, we're going through the whole Bhagavatam in like 16 sessions. We do a whole overview of the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. Quite pretty quick, but you get a sense of the flow and the overview. And then devotees look at the Bhagavatam and they think, okay, I kind of got the overall picture, so I don't feel like I'm drowning in a whole bunch of information and I don't know where I am. They feel more confident. So yeah, I'm happy that if the devotees are happy, then I'm happy.
Yeah, that's a really nice service for definitely getting people that have confidence to read Prabhupada's books. And that regular contact, I like that point you were mentioning about making things relevant. And this is where, and to this regard, we hear Prabhupada mention how the BTG was the backbone to the movement, because it would this, when the Back to Godhead was coming out, that's what Prabhupada's intention was, that you know, you get these relevant topics from nowadays and all the devotees should write articles. So this is all the devotees should write. So that's definitely going to your point, with sometimes that instruction of Prabhupada is maybe not so much in the forefront or presented or even encouraged that the devotees should write. So I mean,
point, it's like, yeah, it's amazing. You see, like you read in Lilamrita, like when Prabhupada's first starting the Back to Godhead, and he's like, one article my Guru Maharaj, one article me, and one article all of you. And you think like, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. And then he just brings the devotees up. He brings the devotees up on that level. And that level of empowerment, that level of saying, you've heard, now repeat. And, you know, in a chaste way. And Prabhupada had that confidence. So it was so empowering. Sorry to interrupt you, but yeah.
No, Prabhu, that's yeah. So what would you think? Because I know nowadays it kind of seems like, at least in America, I don't know how it is in there in the UK, but is the Back to Godhead still a prominent force, you would say, or is it that we should again put emphasis on, you know, this, you know, devotees just, you know, taking these modern issues and attacking them directly head on, showing them this is how Krishna consciousness applies. What do you think about that?
Yeah, somehow or other, Back to Godhead seemed to undergo some kind of evolution, and it's wonderful. Actually, it's still wonderful, the quality, the layout, you know, haka. But it tends to seem to cater more for the devotee communities, which is still amazing. It's still really, really good. I think some years ago, they tried to create a new magazine, right, called the Spirit Magazine, or there was something like that, which was almost like a new style of Back to Godhead, which was meant for outreach, you know. And maybe that's something we do need to explore, because, you know, imagine like post-COVID, if you had a magazine out on, you know, like spiritual techniques to deal with post-COVID world, you know. I mean, it's like, it'd be pretty easy to kind of distribute that on the street, you know, like people want an alternative approach. They want to know, you know, how am I going to deal with life? So I think whether it's Back to Godhead that, you know, needs to evolve or need to tweak the content, or whether it's a new magazine, we definitely need to be addressing the issues of the day, because it's an immediate hook, right? It's just an immediate hook for people.
Yeah. Yeah, get them hooked up to Krishna. So we have the Sankirtan 6. So we're going to ask some rapid-fire questions.
And sure.
You can reply as you see. So if there was one person in the past, present, or future who you want to distribute Gita to, who would it be and how would you do it?
I was thinking someone like Einstein, and I say that with hesitation because apparently Einstein already read the Gita, right? I hear different things, but...
But you want to give him Prabhupada's Gita.
Prabhupada said, if you want to cut atheism at the roots, Bhaktivedanta Institute, the scientists, because the scientific... you know, the prevailing scientific theories are what are kind of facilitate atheism. And so my sense is that, you know, if an intellectual who has certain intellectual power can really establish some of these things and understand some of these points, it would have a huge effect. So I guess Einstein was the first person that came to my mind. And how would I do it? Maybe something to do with the universal form, you know, like talking about the universal form, and so, somehow that chapter of the Gita seems to me to be like, you know, like even that atom bomb guy, right? Oppenheimer.
Yeah, Oppenheimer. Yeah.
From that chapter as well. So there's something very scientific and very for those looking into the universe, so maybe something from there I try to share with him.
Okay, that's good. That's good. If you had all the resources in the world, how would you like to spread the Krishna consciousness movement in Europe? What would be your, you know, your magic wand there? What would you do?
You know, tough question. You know, you should have given me before. How would I use all the money? I would say, like, I think restaurants are really, really powerful. Restaurants and yoga centers and like reading rooms. And so what I would try to do is create some kind of brand, you know, like whatever it may be, Subway or something, you know, like a spiritual version of Subway or something like that, and then just open like, you know, 5 branches in every city and just flood the market, get people taking prasadam, and then just having really cool people hang out there to share Krishna consciousness with them. And I think that would have a huge effect, you know. So that's something that immediately comes to mind.
Yeah, definitely. People got to eat, always. The eating will never stop. So having prasadam, this is like the, you know, Krishna consciousness is our secret weapon. It's prasadam. Your all-time favorite book to distribute?
Oh, I'm biased because we put some things together. But in essence, I got to promote that book, you know. We kind of worked on that book for 2-3 years with the North European BBT. And what we kind of did was studied Prabhupada's presentation of the philosophy and tried to couple that with, you know, some of the most frequently asked questions that people have on the street, and then break it up and make it really bite-sized and like boom, 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 boom. So people get an immediate sense of Prabhupada's brilliance. And then we stuck a new type of cover on it, which is, you know, like a different style, connects with maybe a broader section. And I just found it amazing because I could stop anyone. And because I knew the book quite well, the manuscript, I just asked them any question that they had in life and I'd be able to show them how to answer in the book, you know. And I got a lot of good feedback from it in terms of people finding it like a very digestible read and things like that. So, yeah.
So that's good. That's good. So the layout of the book is, you have a question and then the answer is Prabhupada's answer direct from somewhere.
You may have seen books like Amritavani. Amritavani is something which was created by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples, where what they did is they formulated questions and then they found excerpts within his writings or his lectures which answer that question. And then we have a follow-up question. So it becomes like a dialogue, but we've created the questions ourselves, but all of the answers are directly from Prabhupada.
Okay.
So yeah, there are books like that. If you see also Bhaktivinoda Vani Vaibhav, that's another book which is created like that on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. And Amritavani is the one created on Bhaktisiddhanta. So we thought, why not have one for Prabhupada as well?
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. Definitely we should see maybe North America BBT can get some containers shipped over so we can start it.
It's nice also because it's like one of these new covers, which is like it's a plastic cover. So it's like...
Flexi-bound, they call it.
Flexi-bound, right. But it's a medium. And I found like... whatever books of Prabhupada go out, but sometimes the disadvantage of a small paperback is that people may not value it. And sometimes the disadvantage of a proper hardback is people may find it intimidating, but it will last. But they may never read it. So I found that this was like, we tried to create it like that, where it was something that was so substantial that people wouldn't never throw it away. But at the same time, it wasn't so big that it would be intimidating. So it's kind of like, yeah, well, I can. And then it's like very easy to read.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I've taken a look through the book, but now talking to you, I'm going to go and read it, the full thing myself. And maybe you could share with us one of your favorite verses.
From Shastra?
Yeah.
One I can really relate to is Rupa Goswami. He says in Padyavali, Yuvatinam yatha yuni yunam cha yuvato yatha manobhi ramate tadvan manome ramatam tvai. He goes in front of Krishna and he says, as the minds of young girls are attracted towards young boys, and as the minds of young boys are attracted to young girls, allow my mind to be as naturally drawn towards you without any diversion. So I always thought that was very, very beautiful, because if we can invoke that kind of natural remembrance, natural consciousness, natural mindfulness of Krishna, where without any effort, our mind is always going towards Krishna, how nice that would be.
Thank you so much, Uttapa Prabhu, for drawing our minds to Krishna and for dedicating yourself to also being a servant of the book Bhagavat, by distributing the books, by reading the books, and by also writing about the books to get others as well hooked up to this great gift we have to offer to the world. Actually, these Prabhupada's books are, like you said, the law books for the next 10,000 years, of which, you know, only a minuscule amount of time has passed since Prabhupada's books have actually been produced and been put out there. So imagine how much, 10,000 years, it's an inconceivable amount of time. But these books are going to be what are going to guide you in society. So thank you for it.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you to yourself and all the devotees in NYC. I know you guys are, a new wave of book distribution, and you're really showing there's no limits. It's unlimited. The only thing that limits it is our own material consciousness. And yes, handing out these sets of books, I mean, it's groundbreaking, changing people's lives. And every time I see a picture on Dandavats of the Shapta Rishis and all the other sets that you have going out, it's like, wow. Oh yeah, I pray that we get some of the dust off your feet so we can be empowered to do the same. And thank you for inspiring all of us with these podcasts so we can stay connected. And thank you very much for
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Tanya.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.